Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter number 4. We're going to look at one verse tonight. I'll read it, verse number 23. But we're going to look at Proverbs chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter number 4. Stand with me, please. And I'll read verse number 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for the day, and I thank you again for all that you've done, Lord, even for the service that we've had, and Lord, all that we've enjoyed from the song service to the special so far. And I pray, Lord, that you please just be with the remainder, be with our preacher as he preaches. I pray, Lord, that you'd please help us to listen, that you'd please help us to hold on to something that is said, and that you'd please help us during this service be with the special music. Pray, Lord, that it would prepare our hearts for the preaching. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Lord, I come with nothing to offer you. In my hand, no gift I bring. All I have is my pride and my selfishness. All I want is you as my King. In my weakness now I come, Lord. Be my strength and be my song. In my need I seek your help, Lord. I am weak, but you are strong. Give me strength, dear Lord, to obey your word as I take the shield of faith. I receive your gift of salvation. I rejoice in the gift of your grace. In my weakness now I come, Lord. Be my strength and be my song. In my need I seek your help, Lord. I am weak, but you are strong. In my weakness now I come, Lord. Be my strength and be my song. In my need I seek your help, Lord. I am weak, but you are strong. I am weak, but you are strong. You are strong.
Appreciate the good song tonight. All right, I announced this morning I was going to continue on teenage dating sooner or later. I know realize we have older folk and senior citizens and probably not going to learn much about teenage dating, but I don't have much to do with them, but hopefully it'll be a blessing and a help, just the principles that we talk about. And I have to remember that there's a lot of young couples coming behind here with young boys and girls and teenagers, and I need to keep addressing the subject of child rearing and building a proper family. And so I want to talk a little bit about this as we started 6 weeks ago, I think it was 6 weeks ago, on this teenage dating sooner or later. So Lord God, we thank you tonight that you are strong and we are weak, and we're willing to acknowledge that. And we pray that you'll please bless us in these moments together in your word. May we help somebody tonight, Lord, from the scripture, and may biblical principles be practiced and put into action in our homes, in the lives of our young people. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. and amen. I said about 6 weeks ago, basically there are two models to follow when you get to this matter of teenage dating. You can follow God's Word or you can follow the world, the world's model. So you can follow God's model or you can follow the world's model. And I'll just say that anybody following the world's model will create great difficulty for themselves every time. When you follow the world's model in anything, including this, you're going to create difficulty. Now, I gave a scenario from the world model 6 weeks ago. Let me give you another one. Here's the world model. Day number one, Billy talks to Sally after church. Day number two, Billy calls Sally on the phone and says, "I like you." Day number three, Billy gives Sally his ring and they're going steady. Day number four, Billy tells Sally that he loves her and Sally responds in kind. Day number five, Billy talks about their future and their life together and their engagement. Day number six, Sally sees Bill talking to another girl. Day number seven, Sally talks to another boy just to show Bill that she can do that. Day number eight, Billy and Sally break up and they never want to see each other ever again. Day number nine, Sally sees another girl wearing Billy's ring. Day number 10, Sally has her 14th birthday party, but she's too sad to enjoy it. And that's about it right there. That's maybe exaggerated. Maybe. Maybe not. That's the pace of this thing sometimes. It's foolish. It's crazy. And what's even crazier is parents who promote it. And parents who encourage it. So that's what we're talking about. Teenage dating sooner or later. That's the world's model. God's model is found in the Bible. There are no specific verses that contain the words, "Thou shalt begin to date at age such and such." But we remind you, Psalm 119:130, "The entrance of thy words giveth light." So we read the Word of God and it gives us light. It gives us light based on biblical principle. And there's a lot of biblical principles that can be applied and embraced in this matter of teenage dating sooner or later. Now, I want to give you, just by way of review, the three principles that we gave 6 weeks ago. Go quickly and just review those. I said, first of all, you got the principle in the law of first mention. Let's go to the first time you find a woman and a man getting together in marriage. And, of course, that's in Genesis chapter 2 in the Garden of Eden. Now, there I talked about four things. Number one, Adam was engaged in employment. You know, it might be a good idea to have a steady job and hold it before you think about getting serious with a girl or a boy. Might be a good idea. He was engaged in steady employment. Number two, Adam was mature physically. The Bible says that God created Adam in his own image. Adam wasn't a child. Adam was an elementary school boy. Adam wasn't a teenager. He was a grown man. So he was mature physically. Number three, God brought Eve to Adam. Number four, God brought one woman to Adam. When I say God brought Eve to Adam, Adam wasn't on the hunt. He wasn't on the hunt. Let me give you a little principle, young people, and parents can employ this with their young people. You need to be more concerned in being the right person than finding the right person. Be the right person rather than finding the right person. So Adam didn't go on the prowl. He went to sleep, in fact, and God brought Eve to Adam. And then number four, God brought one woman to Adam. He didn't bring five and say, "Take your pick." He brought one woman, Eve, to Adam, and they were married. So you got principles in the law of first mention. Now, number two, I said last message, you got the principles of dad and mom first. That's in Ephesians chapter 6 and Colossians chapter 3 and Exodus chapter 20 and a couple of other places in the Scripture where children are encouraged to obey their parents. Love, honor, respect, obey their parents. The principle of dad and mom first. Your most important relationship as a teenager will always be, should always be, with your dad and your mom. Always. First and foremost, beyond any more. Okay, any other. What happens is you get a 13-year-old, a 15-year-old, you know, all a flutter over another 14-year-old or 13-year-old, and mom and dad play second fiddle to a teenager. That's out of order. That's improper. That's incorrect. Dad, mom first. So you build a relationship with dad and mom first and foremost before anybody. Principle number three from the last time I preached on this was the principle of don't kick the sleeping dog. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where the Bible says it is that our sanctification is the will of God. You know how to possess your vessel in honor and sanctification. There is a sleeping giant inside of every person called passion. There is a time for passion to be awakened. It's not at 14. It's not at 16. And you start playing around with passion too early, it's no different than seeing a pit bull asleep and walking over and just rearing back with your leg and just kicking him right in the stomach or the teeth. And the reaction you get out of that pit bull is similar to the reaction you get when you stir up passion that's not created to be stirred up until you get the right person at the right time. So don't kick the sleeping dog. Now, that's what we talked about last time. Now, let me give you another principle tonight. It's got two or three issues with it, okay? It's the principle of guarding your heart. It's found here in Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 23, where the wise man said, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That word keep is the word guard, protect. Guard and protect your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart with all diligence. Young person, listen. When God brings the right girl to you, fellas, and when God brings the right boy to you, ladies, you know, at the right time, it'll be proper for you to start to give your heart away. But you don't want to start giving your heart away until you know it's the right person. You don't want to give your heart to the wrong person. And the wise man said, don't run around, just give your heart to everybody. Keep it. Be diligent. Guard it, protect it. Who do you give your heart to? Be careful about who you give your heart to. Now, there's two or three reasons for this. Let me give them to you quickly tonight. That'll be the message. Reason number one, be careful who you give your heart to. They may never grow up. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Turn with me to a couple of scriptures tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You got to be careful who you give your heart to because they may never grow up. Now, I understand the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, but I want to show you a verse here because Paul uses an illustration, a human illustration, to teach a divine truth. So look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and look at verse number 11 and look at what Paul says in this verse. He says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now, do you see that? Now, folks, I understand the context. Paul is speaking about true love. He's speaking about charity and the fact that charity is better than spiritual gifts. And if you have all the spiritual gifts and yet you do not have love in action, you've got all the spiritual gifts, but you don't put the gifts to work with an attitude of love, basically, you have nothing. I understand the context. To use spiritual gifts without love is childish. To use spiritual gifts for self-propagation, to use spiritual gifts for self-exaltation, that's childish. Childish. And that's immature. And Paul uses himself as an example in this area of maturity. He said, when I was a child, I talked like a child. When I was a child, I understood like a child. When I was a child, I thought like a child. But, you know what? When I became a man, I put away childish things. So I understand the context. But don't miss the human truth here. Don't miss the illustration. Paul says there comes a time when you grow up. There comes a time when you grow up. There was a time when Paul matured. Everybody is born as a baby. And babies have certain ways. And then you grow from a baby into childhood. And when you're a child, you have certain practices. You have certain ways as a child. Then you're supposed to grow into manhood and womanhood, and manhood and womanhood has its own practices, has its own ways, and manhood's ways and womanhood's ways are not the same as childish ways. Not the same. And if you're not careful, you'll give your heart to an immature person. Because, friend, you can't know if a person is going to mature when they are 14. You can't know if a person is going to mature when they're 15 or 16 or even 17. Sometimes you don't even know if they're going to mature when they are 18 years of age. And I would say tonight, and I was thinking about this while the ladies were playing the song. I did an interview with the editor of a Christian publication this week. And he asked me, he said, what is your favorite song? He said, you probably could say a bunch of them. But without hesitation, I said, my favorite song is Like a River Glorious. They played that song over there. I love that song. Great song. And I have been encouraged in recent days. There's always some things that discourage you, but I've been encouraged in recent days by some things that I can't share from the pulpit that I know are happening in the hearts and lives of young college adults and teenagers. I spoke to a parent tonight just in passing, and I said, have I noticed an uptick in your teenager recently? And the parent said, man, it's unbelievable. And I'm excited about that, see? I can't always talk about the bad things. I'm always talking about sometimes I can't share the good things with you. And I'm excited to see development in the hearts and lives of teenagers and college-age young people that is positive and that's spiritual and it's very good. But folks, listen. You give your heart away to somebody who's 15 years of age, you have no idea if that boy or girl is ever going to grow into manhood or womanhood. How quickly they're going to do it. At some point in time, qualities of maturity will begin to show themselves, but you don't really know that. More often than not, you won't know that. You'll know it later rather than sooner. You start the world's model of dating and this boyfriend-girlfriend junk hopping from one to the other and the other to the one and back and forth and all this thing, just giving a piece of your heart to all these people, and then you give your heart away at age 15 to a boy or girl who then never puts away childish things. You'll be in a mess. You say, Pastor, how do you know if someone is maturing? Well, folks, Paul listed three areas. He said, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. There's three areas right there. It's not Terry Angel's opinion, that's the Word of God. All right? So, if their talk, if their understanding, if their thinking is childish, then there's a lack of maturity. Now look, you start liking someone and they start saying, I love you, the third or fourth day into your relationship, that's a lack of maturity. You better run like a scared rabbit. Or if you catch them in lies, because lying is immature. And you can't tell the truth, that's immature. You start liking someone in this area of understanding. How do you know if somebody is maturing in the area of understanding? Well, you know, Proverbs encourages young people to grow in three areas. Knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Now listen to this. Knowledge is learning what God wants me to do. Understanding is learning why God wants me to do it. Wisdom is learning how to do what God wants me to do. So those three things right there in the book of Proverbs. Now, you start liking someone, and they can't give any reasons for why they do what they do. That's a lack of understanding. That's a lack of maturity. When their answers, okay, why do you come to church? Oh, no, Dad, Mom, make me. If that's their answer, I don't care how old they are. They're mature. Why do you do that? Well, I feel like it. I feel like I don't feel like it. I like it. I don't like. When all their answers for everything they do in life is based on what they like and don't like, that's immature. That's childish. You start giving, and here's the problem. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. How about this area of you start liking somebody and they're always talking about themselves? I, me, my. Their thinking is selfish. Their thinking is self-centered. And there's nothing more childish than that. Because that's what the baby and the little toddler in the nursery does when he walks over and grabs the toy and says, mine. Childish. So you start talking to this person who's 15 years of age, and you got all this, they don't have any, they talk like a child, and they understand like a child, and they think like a child, and you start giving your heart away because, yeah, well, you know what, one of these days they're going to grow up. You don't know that they're ever going to grow up. You better not start giving your heart away until you find somebody who thinks and understands and talks maturely. And folks, not a lot of that goes on at 16. I'm not trying to diss you teenagers tonight, but you're teenagers. Come on. You got a lot of life to live yet. Okay? I'm not down on you. I'm just saying it's usually later rather than sooner before maturity begins to exhibit itself or express itself. You give your heart to someone who is silly, someone who is immature, someone who is childish because you think, you know, they're funny and they make me laugh and she's cute or he's handsome, he's strong, and you start giving your heart away based on those things and there's a serious lack of maturity. You know, about 2 or 3 years into your marriage, by the time you're age 21, that childishness is not going to be funny anymore. And I will tell you, I could give you more illustrations. And years and years and years ago, a lady was about to have a nervous breakdown and sat and talked to me face to face, just about to have a nervous breakdown because her husband came home from work and stayed up till 5 o'clock in the morning playing video games with his boys and didn't go to work that day and lost his job. And that was not a one-time thing. That was his normal practice to come home and stay up till... Listen, she was outside mowing the grass in 90-degree heat. The grass had grown about 8 or 10 inches. And nor the boys would mow the grass. And she had to go out and mow it herself. She was about ready to have a nervous breakdown because they were in playing video games. Now, you marry that, you're going to be in a world of trouble. World of trouble. So keep your heart guarded. You can't start giving your heart away at 13 or 15 or 17 because you don't know if he or she is ever going to mature. See, when you're married 3 or 4 years and you come home from working 8 or 10 hours and she's been watching TV all day or been on the computer all day, on Facebook all day, or been on the phone all day, and there's no groceries and there's no meal prepared and you have to go to the store and buy the groceries to come home and fix the meal, it's not going to be funny. Won't matter how pretty she is. Not a lick. Okay? This is serious stuff. You can't just give your heart away because, oh man, you know, he, she, strong, cute, funny, handsome, pretty. No, no, no. You don't give your heart away because you have no idea whether that person will ever grow up. The point is, you can't know if they're going to put away childish things when they're 15 years of age. You can't know that. Good. Secondly, you need to guard your heart because you can't walk together in disagreement. You cannot walk together in disagreement. Amos 3:3 says this, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" And people, the obvious answer to that question is no. They can't walk together unless they be agreed. Now, we know the truth to that. You cannot walk together in disagreement. Now, on some smaller issues, a husband and wife can walk together in disagreement. You know, which is a better car, Ford or General Motors? You might have a different opinion on that. Which is the better team, Cubs or White Sox? You might have an opinion on that, and this church has plenty of opinions on that. You know, which is the best ice cream, chocolate or vanilla? You know, if you and your wife disagree on what's the best ice cream flavor, you probably can still have a decent marriage. Maybe. But when it comes, now you don't miss this, pal, when it comes to major directional issues, I'm talking about, are you a Baptist or are you a non-denominationalist? I'm talking about which Bible do you use? I'm talking about, are you going to go to church regularly or are you going to go randomly? You give you're a regular churchgoer and you give your heart to somebody who's a random churchgoer, somebody's going to change. I can just about tell you who's going to change. contemporary music or Christ-honoring music. And young people, listen very carefully, and parents, you really don't know what is in a person's heart when they are 16. Fifteen-year-olds and 16-year-olds and 17-year-olds can walk the line, but at some point they're going to get out of the house, college or something, and buddy, what's in here is going to come out. It's going to come out. Can't give your heart away to somebody that you're not going to agree with when it comes to the directional issues of living for God. You don't know their direction until later. You give your heart away only to find out that they are not going the same direction as you are. Now look, if that happens, if you give your heart away to somebody who doesn't end up going the same direction you are directionally in this matter of living for God, there's a couple of options. You can break up, which rarely happens. Because you've given your heart away. You give your heart away, it's hard to take it back. So you break up. Or you get married. And you endure the difficulty of being married and not walking the same road together. And I'm going to tell you something. That is H-A-R-D. That's hard. Take it from somebody who's had to talk to couples. When you marry somebody who directionally in this matter of living for God is walking a different road, and you try to maintain the road you've walked and been taught to walk, that is H-A-R-D. Extremely hard. So you either endure difficulty or, and this is usually what happens, you change with them. You change with them. People, relationships have the potential to cause change in a person. Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived. God said that. Wisest man who ever lived. In 1 Kings 11, he married several non-Hebrew women. This is what it says about Solomon in verse number 4. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And the incredible thing is, God warned about this because he went in verse number 2, he referred to something that back in the earlier scriptures in the Pentateuch that said, ye shall not go into them, the non-Hebrew women, neither shall they come in unto you. Listen to what he said. Now, this is God speaking, but we know more than God. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. He didn't say it might happen. He said, this will happen. Your heart will turn. That's what God said. And God warned Solomon about it. Solomon ignored it. And he married women who were not going his direction. He didn't turn them. They turned him. He started building altars to false gods in the nation of Israel, the wisest man who ever lived. Somewhere along the line, we have to decide that maybe, just maybe, God knows a little bit more about human nature than we do. Somewhere along the line. This happens to parents. This happens to parents whose children do not choose Bible Christianity, choosing contemporary rock Christian music, choosing a contemporary lifestyle, choosing a lack of consecration, choosing a lack of commitment, choosing a lack of challenge to serve God. Parents love their children, and rather than correct their kid and stay committed and stay consecrated and stay challenged to serve God, they change with their kids. And by what? When you change with your kids, now you've got a convoluted chain of command where the kids are leading the way. You know, God talked about the nation of Israel, one of His judgments on the nation of Israel, when a child shall lead you. That happens. Where you got children leading parents. The chain of command is completely convoluted, and the practice of Christianity is built around what the kids like, instead of being built around parents providing godly leadership. Oh, servant leadership, servant leadership. Do you know how you serve as a... You lead. You lead your family. You lead the children. You don't serve them by letting them lead. It's nuts. I don't know where the philosophy comes from. I have no idea. Maybe, I don't know if it's Bill Gothard, who never was married, never had any kids. You will, neither was Paul. Yeah, but that's not Paul's word. That's God's word. I don't know where it comes from. I have no idea where it comes from. You know, just whatever your kids like to do, let them do it. Encourage. What? Where did you get that? I think God gave parents to children to lead them. And you know what? If your child chooses a contemporary, worldly Christian lifestyle, you don't have to follow them. You don't have to cut them off and say, that's it, you're out, never again, I won't ever talk to you again. You don't have to act like that. But folks, you don't have to follow them. That's what's going on. Because relationships change people. Especially when the heart is involved and you've given away your heart. And you parents know you give your hearts to your kids. And that's dangerous. If your kids change, you better be careful. You'll change with them. You give your heart to a 15-year-old who's been reared up in the same practice of Christianity that you've been reared up in, you start giving your heart away to them at 15, you have no idea where they're going to be at 20. You have no idea where they're going to be at 21. And I don't care if you do that at 17 or if you do it at age 70. If you give your heart to someone who is promising the moon, only to marry them and realize that they are not serious, now, you're either going to live in disagreement or you're going to change, and more often than not, you change. So here you are at 15, 16, and 17, giving your heart away to someone who in 2 to 3 short years has changed completely from what you thought they were. Here's something that was posted on Facebook just a day or two after the Supreme Court legalized sodomite marriages. This was posted by a young man who stood on this platform and was married here to a girl several years ago. Day late on this, but wanted to give my 2 cents on biblical marriage. Biblical is in quotes. Number one, Eve was created for Adam only after he did not find a suitable mate from the animal kingdom. That's odd. What's he saying? Bestiality is okay? Number two, Cain, the son of Adam and Eve, apparently married either his mom or his sister. That's strange. So incest is. King David, the man after God's own heart, had multiple wives. So polygamy is? Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, had 700 wives. And here's the kicker. And of course, Jesus had no wives, but apparently he did have 12 men that he loved. That is blasphemy. That's blasphemy. That was written by a young man who graduated from a Bible college. Married a girl right here on this platform. Said the vows to each other. Oh, they're not together anymore. He's way out, man. What was that last statement supposed to say? Jesus had homosexual tendencies? I wouldn't want to be near that guy. I wouldn't want to be near him. That's my point, folks. You can't start giving your heart away. At an early age, you have no idea if they're going to stick in the same direction that you've been raised in, if it means anything to you, if the Christianity that you've been taught means anything to you, and you want to practice that the rest of your life and rear your children in that same type of Christianity, you better not start giving your heart away to kids, to other kids at age 15. You have no idea what direction they're going to go. Now, does that make sense to y'all? So it's the principle of guarding your heart. Now here's what you do, young people, and this is what parents. So what do you do? Oh, man, you don't want to have any boyfriend or girlfriend. No, I don't want you to have a boyfriend or girlfriend. I want you to have friends. Have friends. And you can be friends with men, boys. You can be friends with girls. Have friends. Be friends. Make friends. Be friendly to everybody, but don't follow everybody. And I'll tell you this, I've said it before, the best marriages are built on the relationship of friendship. Best ones. Where there was a proper dating and courting thing done right at the right time. And the girl, the man and the woman weren't just giving their girl and boy, weren't just giving their hearts away to everybody. Everybody giving their hearts away, giving their hearts away, giving their hearts away. But they just stayed a friend. Just talk, you know, learn how to talk to somebody of the opposite gender. Learn how to carry on a conversation that doesn't degenerate into boyfriend, girlfriend stuff. Be a friend. Just a friend. And you know what? When God brings that one into your life and you're building that relationship on the foundation of friendship, you're going to have something that's really going to create the potential for a great marriage experience. The relationships that are built on lust and uncontrolled passion always have some degree of trouble. Always. Always. But if they're built on friendship, friendship. Being a friend, that's the relationships that are the most solid when it comes to husband and wife. So, church, I can't take you to a Bible verse that says, you know, teenage dating, don't start until your age, whatever. Well, there's no verse that says that. But there are lots of principles in God's Word that indicate when it comes to teenage dating, later is always better than sooner. It's always better. Sooner. And I want to close with this tonight. I hope that for those of you who came on Friday night, we've had a lot of sweet weddings here. But this was sweet in a different way. This was just sweet in a different way. And I hope for you, men or women, who have gone beyond what is considered the normal age of marrying and you're still single, I hope that was an encouragement to you. Wait for God's timing. And God hasn't forgotten you. And God knows where you are. All those years, and Sarah would come and we'd talk about this. It wasn't easy. I had no idea. Nobody did. That God had a good man whose wife was going to get cancer and die after about 18 months. And he would need a good wife. He told his pastor, he said he was in despair. He said, I don't know if I'll ever find a woman with some godly characteristics that I feel like I could marry. Until God brought Wayne and Sarah together. Now God's able. He's able. So just watch your heart. And don't just go giving it away to everybody. No matter if you're a teenager or if you're college age. Be careful this matter of just giving your heart away, but especially in the area of teenage dating. Just set it aside. Put it to rest. It's not that important. Later is better than sooner because of several biblical principles. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening tonight. Father, I pray that you'll help these principles to be a help to the people of this church. Lord, I pray that you'll help families that have teenagers and families that have young children and are going to go through the next several years watching those kids grow up. God, please protect them and help the young people to have some sense in this matter and understand the biblical principles about not giving their heart away. Lord, help us to learn the lessons from the principle of first mention, from the principle of dad and mom first, from the principle of don't kick the sleeping dog, and from the principle of guarding your heart. Help us to learn these and live them and give our young people happy futures together with the person that you choose for their life, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're not saved, it's always a good time to get saved. If you're a parent or a teenager tonight or even a younger child, and you know you just want to make a commitment in your home, your family, your life, to follow biblical principles in this thing, the altar is open for you to speak to the Lord if He spoke to you tonight. Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here to get baptized tonight, now's the time to come. Ladies, play us a song of invitation while we wait.